Well, I'm going to talk this morning about the pneumatikos man. Sounds like Greek, don't it? We'll get to it. But to start, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are so glad to be here today. We're so grateful for your wonderful loving kindness, for your wonderful grace that's so much better than words. We're privileged to know you, privileged to be a part of your family. Help us, Lord, to walk worthy of you. Help us to learn how to walk in the areas that you called us to walk in. No longer be ordinary, natural people anymore, but be pneumatikos, spiritual people. These and other blessings we ask today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, man, especially the nature man, man of nature, has a natural tendency to deny truth and cover it with excuses and explanations of why it doesn't apply. You could talk yourself out of anything, you know. You really can. Adam was in the Garden of Eden. He excused himself for the actions that he took by saying that the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. He didn't ask about the woman. He asked, did you eat of the fruit? He asked Adam a direct question. What does he do? He points to the woman and he points to God. I'm okay. This is really should be between you and that woman you made. I didn't ask for her. That was your big idea. So you handle it. And that's natural man. He was guilty of sin. He didn't deny it, but he didn't admit it either. Listen, I'm talking about the natural man now. Y'all do know he has not changed much these days. All right. We've got a real clear picture. Well, some of our excuses. What are some of our excuses? He pushed me. Yeah, he pushed me. What is another one? I couldn't help it. I'm weak. It just came out. Oh, come on now. The devil made me do it. Man or woman led by the natural selves are what we call soul-led and not spirit-led. What is soul? What is spirit? Much of what was taken in this next session was put together by a study that I did. And a man who I don't think is any longer with us, his name was Spyros Zodiatis. Very difficult name, but he was a purist when it comes to the scriptures and to the original language. Dichotomists view man as consisting of two parts or substances, material and immaterial, with spirit and soul representing the immaterial and bearing only a functional and not a metaphysical or supernatural difference. So dichotomists are saying, well, you're functional, but there's nothing supernatural about you. Now, trichotomists also view man as consisting of two parts or substances, with the spirit and soul representing, in some contexts, a real subdivision of the immaterial. The Bible view of man is represented as a trichotomy, or three parts. And the three parts are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is pneuma, soul is sukos, body is soma. These are the Greek equivalent words for them. And our proof text for that is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where Paul says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said that. Paul identified three parts of man. And his prayer is that every part of you will be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, that means living, it's powerful, that means it's energetic. God's word is energetic. It's an active word. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how God's word works. When it enters in, it's living. It brings life in with it. And when it entered in, it comes in with life, and it comes in energetically. It's not just some flat something that happens. It's an energetic entry of the word of God into one's life. It's sharper. That means when it cuts decisively. There's no question about what God's word show you. It is decisive. It pierces. That means it penetrates through. There aren't any barriers that can stop the word of God from its intended purpose. It divides. That means it separates. That means it distributes. And it divides asunder. It divides the soul. That's the suke. It divides the spirit. That's the pneuma. It even divides the joints and the marrow. Now, we're down to the physical man now. The joints and the marrow. It speaks of articulation, and not as when you're speaking, but the articulation of joints and their movements with bones. And so it's actually talking about joints in the body. That means God's word even deals with your physical person. It will make it all the way down to your joints and your marrow. And it will also do something. It discerns the thoughts. That's the deliberations. The back and the forth. He made me do it. She shouldn't have spoke to me like that. I got a right to do what I want to do. God's word will come in and shine a light on those thoughts and intentions in your heart. It will do that. And that's the word. The spirit is the part that can live independent of the body. Independent. Hey, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, how's that? Well, in spirit, of course. God is a spirit. So that part lives independently of the body. Remember the scripture in Luke 8:52 when Jesus said, when this young girl had died, and he says, what do you make this ado? Move to the side. She's not dead, but she sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. Y'all remember reading that or hearing of it? And what did he do? He put them all out. And then he turned to the maid, the Bible says, and said, maid, arise. It says that her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. Her pneuma, not her suke, not her soul, but her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. So that spirit was somewhere. Well, Jesus said, arise, and the spirit came, and she arose. That's good. And in Matthew 27, when Jesus died, it says that he yielded up the ghost. That means he yielded up his pneuma. He yielded up his spirit. Soul and spirit are very closely related because they are both immaterial and both contrast the body. Very closely related because they're immaterial. And without the word of God, it'll be very difficult to discern the difference in the two. You'll be back and forth from the soul back over to the spirit, back to the spirit, back over to the soul. And you'll be picking and choosing. That's why we need the word of God. We really need the word because it's quick, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharp, it divides, it discerns. And it will help you comprehend what's going on inside of you. But they, soul and spirit, can't and do not mean the same thing. They're different. Now, listen, for Christians, we have a spirit given to us of God. We have a spirit given to us of God. It is a divine intervention. It's a divine impartation that we have. Something that not others or anyone else has. Not to say be judgmental, but just to be factual. This is what sets us apart, that makes us different from what else? What else? It's what God has done in us. Soulish is the word psychikos. That's the Greek word. It's like psychic. It describes one who is led by their soul. You go, and I like that this word psychic comes up because the world is full of what they call psychics. And folks will say, well, there ain't nothing to those psychics. I don't know why you listen to it. Oh, yes, there is, too. They're operating out of the area of their souls. God made man, and when he breathed into the nostrils of man, man became a living soul. Now, to deny truth is to deceive yourself. I'm not sending you to psychics. I pray God you don't go. I pray God you go to God's word. What I'm saying to you is that there is a greater and a higher knowledge for you than someone that's operating on the soul level. They can tell you your mama's name and the color of the shirt you wore when you almost burned the house down at 3 years old. A story that you had to hear from your mama. And you go, ooh, she must be spiritual. No, she's soulish now. I'm trying to tell you this morning, God made Adam a living soul. When he breathed into Adam the breath of life and Adam became a living soul, he became a conscious soul. He began to pay attention to his environment. He came a natural man. He knew about the wind. He knew about the trees. God gave him dominion over the garden. That means Adam was functional and operational in his created state. He was made a living soul. We know of our natural environment through the vehicle of our souls. We need to be clear about this. There are other levels of knowledge that you many times are not tapping into because many have an advanced soul and you're depending upon the knowledge that you've accumulated over your lifetime through your soul. Then you become a new creature and you sort of push that to the side and say, I know what to do. I know how it goes. And you're still operating on the level. You still have not achieved your potential that God has given you through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the spirit is man's immaterial nature. It enables him to communicate with God, who, by the way, is a spirit. That's what Jesus said to the woman at the well, right? And in John 4:21, he says, God is a spirit. That's why it seems so difficult to discern the voice or leading of the Lord, because your soul and spirit are both immaterial and both have a voice. Both of them have a voice. And I learned years ago that the message seemed to show up from a similar location in my head somewhere or in my heart somewhere. But they are, to me, what I've learned is they're so close from the same location. But there's a difference in the message that comes. And so the difference between soul and spirit is not one of substance, but it's one of operation. The difference is of operation and not one of substance. Here's some of the biblical operations of the spirit that we have read of. Remember in Acts 18:5, when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul said, I was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He was pressed in his pneuma. That's the word, in his pneuma, in his spirit. He was pressed. That means to compress. It means to constrain, to arrest, or to preoccupy. Have you ever been pressed in the spirit? Have you ever been pushed by the spirit? I know one friend turned and told the spirit, he said he was going to do something. It felt like he got pulled back. And he said, stop doing that. There was nobody there but him and the spirit keeping him from getting in trouble. And he was so hard-headed and so stiff-necked that he yelled at the spirit, stop doing that. He could feel like he was being pushed back. Well, I've never had that happen, but I have been pressed in the spirit. How about in Acts 18:24-25? It says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, he was eloquent and he was mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was fervent in the spirit. Fervent in the spirit. That fervent is boiling hot. He was on fire. They call it on fire for God. He was fervent in the spirit. It's an inward fever. That's where inward fever comes from. It's to be earnest in the spirit. But you know what? The best thing you can do for a man that's moving fervently in the spirit is to get out of his way. The man might not hurt you, but God might. Because if he's under the compulsion of God, you need to stay out of his way. And there are many stories that I know of people that have gotten in the way and it has not ended well for them. Not anything I do, but what God does. Because God's will prevails. I need a few more amens there. Come on now. It does. It prevails. How about in Acts 19:21? It says, after these things were ended, Paul, it says, he was purposed in the spirit, in his pneuma, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he was purposed in the spirit. That means that he was getting ready, that he was resolved to do something. Have you ever been resolved to do something? Well, it seems like the Lord is leading you, resolved to do it, that nothing can get it. I'm sorry, I can't come today. I have this to do. Can't put me on another day. I have got to be here. They was making an appointment at the doctor's office the other day and say, well, can you come on Thursday? I say, as long as it's not the third Thursday, I could come. Well, I have ministry on the third Thursday. And so the appointments have to be made around what God is doing. And you got to remember that, too, if you can arrange other things around what God is doing. I can tell you the most important thing in your life is what God is doing in your life, to be purposed in the spirit. He was so purposed in the spirit that the Lord had planned a travel plan for Paul. From Ephesus to Macedonia was 250 miles. From Macedonia to Achaia was 200 miles. Achaia to Jerusalem was 1,225 miles. Jerusalem to Rome was 1,850 miles. A total of 3,525 miles accurately purposed in the Spirit. He knew what he had to do and he knew where he had to go. And God mapped it out for him and it was just a matter of following what God told him to do. How about in Acts 20? Paul said this to the Ephesian elders on his way to Jerusalem. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, or they wait for me. He was bound in the spirit. To be bound is to be tied up. It's to be shackled. It's being knit together, tied up. I was in a church one time, and the Lord said, leave. And I said, well, where do I go? He said, leave. You leave, and I'll tell you after you leave. So I told the pastor, and he wanted some explanations, and I said, brother, I don't have none. All I know is I got to go. Here are your keys. Here's your Sunday school material. Here are the keys to your church. And God bless you. Now, listen, things weren't right there. That's why I was leaving. It's not, if things are right, God don't tell you to leave. So y'all settle down in your minds now, because, I mean, he's every direction that he has given me in the past has brought me to this place right here, right now. Everything that I've done has brought me, and I was thinking about it last night, how those movements that happened brought me here. Even meeting Pastor Bob, when God led me over to the other church over there, I was at a point where I was not going to another church. I told him, I said, I'm not going to another church unless you show me the church to go to. I'm through with this out here, because you keep running into stuff. You keep running into stuff out there. And after a while, it gets real discouraging. And I said, that's it. We'll have Bible study at home until Jesus comes. And I'm not going into another one of those things again. And I start calling them things, because that's what a lot of them are. Come on, give me an amen now. Everything that's called church is not a church. Amen. Everybody that's called preacher is not a preacher. That means he's not called. Amen. Come on now. Just because one brother said one was called, one was sent, and one went. You know? So some of them go because it's a good career move. Ain't Big Mo got any difference in any business in the pulpit than somebody's pet or something up there destroying people's lives? Don't know what he's doing. God's going to deal with that. I'm waiting to see the day when God, he's going to clean out these pulpits. And my hands are going to be even more full then, because I don't plan to get cleaned out. But folks are going to be looking for pastors and men with hearts for God and not hearts for their pockets and their pocketbooks. And not men that are looking for women, more women. Come on now. You got some men looking for boys. Amen. Yeah, we do. Now, come on now. They get up there and preach and be looking at your son. Hey, praise the Lord. And looking at your son and say, we need to start a youth ministry. I'll start it out. Oh, come on. Y'all know. Come on now. The news accounts tells us about these things. They're being led by their souls and they're being led by their bodies. But they are not leading the church of God. John said, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He was saying that he was rapt. He was wholly absorbed in prophetic vision that day. Wholly absorbed. And the same word pneuma used for God is the same word pneuma used for you, who was spirit, soul, and body. So from where does God speak to you, the believer? His word, of course. And where else? He speaks from his word. He lives. He lives. That's why I say, church, read your word. Don't I? That's why I say, y'all don't depend on me. Don't I? Did anybody catch last week that I said that Jesus walked around on the earth 140 days? Okay. Do you know that it wasn't 140 days? It was only 40. Well, you should have said something. I know. Listen, Look. Oh, my goodness. No. Sister D. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. Okay. Okay. You're tempting me, sister. Anyway, what I'm saying is, sometimes the pastor gets it wrong. Sometimes the pastor misspeaks. Sometimes the pastor gets so excited, stuff just fly out. I said that about 4 times last week. And when I left, I started calculating. I said, wait a minute, Pentecost is 50 days from... It can't be 140 days if Pentecost is 50. So I had to look it up. I said, oh my God, it's 40 days. So forgive me, it wasn't 140 days, it was 40 days. But he did walk around this earth for 40 days. Now y'all listen, y'all help me. And don't be afraid to come and say, Pastor, I need to ask you about something. Or, you know, don't come up here and say, you was wrong. If you don't want me to get in the flesh, don't stimulate my flesh. Amen. Come on now. I'm not the Christ, you know. So I am very human, and I won't mind telling you that. So, well, anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. Listen, it is important that you study your word, because just like I made that one mistake, and who knows what else, if you listen to anything other than what the scripture says, these men and women make mistakes when they're talking. And that's why you need to know the word for yourself, what it says. It's sort of like what we're going to do next week. We're going to eat the fish and spit out the bones. Hallelujah. Yeah, it better go that way. Eat the fish and spit out the bones. Now, I mean, I'm not saying don't listen to others, but you got to at least discern this. And don't swallow everything that gets in your mouth. Now. Some of that stuff you need to expel it. You don't need to accept it. You need to study behind these things. And if they keep doing that, you need to stop listening to them. Everybody gets to make a mistake here and there. We all make mistakes. But if it's an error, you don't need it. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickens, that gives life. He said that the flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Spirit, the spirit, it's the pneuma that vitalizes or gives life to. And it's not the flesh, not the carnality, not the carnal man, not the carnal mind. That gives you nothing. The words he said, the rhema words. Hallelujah. He said rhema words, Sister Angela. That's a right now living word for this moment. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are also life. Listen, God's word is not just words on a page. These words are spirit and these words are life. Then he says, but there are some of you that believe not. Now, this identifies the need to believe. That means that you must have faith. I mean, God will put you in places and send you areas that will challenge your belief. It will challenge your common sense. It'll make you start wondering if I'm hearing from God or not. He'll send you places, but you gotta believe. Faith is the key portion of this whole thing that we're talking about. Then he said in John 6:65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That's the other critical point, is this. It's got to be the operation of God the Father that stirs things up in you. You're not going to reach in there and get anything. It's up to God to stir up what he wants to put in you. So that means we have to be in a position of receiving and not in the position of taking what we want and going to that what we want and this is what I want and this is what I want. I know what I want. The question is, what does God want? It's God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's new in freshness. It's new like nothing else ever before. New like no other creation ever before. There are no other men or women on the earth like those who are in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature. New creature. Old things are passed away. They're gone. That means everything. Everything is passed away. You have another realm in which you can live and walk. But do you avail yourself to it? That's the question. Everything has become new. You've got an area of existence that is so new and it's so fresh. And then all things are caused to be. All things are caused to be new. That means youthful, fresh, and regenerated. All things are new. That's what it causes in us. John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so the first step is born again. It's entering into that door. Jesus said, I am the door. In other words, he cannot have an awareness of the kingdom of God, nor can he perceive it. He can have no knowledge of the kingdom of God. He cannot enjoy, nor is he fitted for the kingdom of God. Man must first be born again. I got folks around the earth acting so many different kinds of ways and say, well, God is a God of love. God loves me and he accepts me the way I am. Well, I got a Greek word for that. It's called good luck. God has standards and he has requirements of his people. And ain't no sense arguing with them. Their minds are made up. And listen, I told one brother, he was talking to somebody online and he was arguing and fussing about it. I said, look, tell him to go and ask God. Talk to God. Listen, if he won't listen to God, he's sure enough not going to listen to you. You know. So look, if they're not listening to God, you could try to tell them. But after a while, cast not your pearl among swine. Don't utilize your resources on some hard head, knucklehead who's already made their mind up. Well, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to live this degenerate lifestyle. No matter what you say, God loves me. And you say, well, good luck to you. You don't even bless them. Well, good luck. See you at the judgment. Let's see how that works out for you. Galatians 6:15 says that, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. It's a new creature that avails everything. In 1 Corinthians 2, go ahead and turn over there. We're going to end off with 1 Corinthians 2. The pneumaticos man. Are y'all getting something from this? Are you or no? Are y'all still lost? Y'all looking for 1 Corinthians, aren't you? 1 Corinthians 2 speaks of the power of God. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom or declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This is Paul. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That means there was something going on. Something was stirring when he spoke. And something should be stirring in you when this word comes forth. God must have said something to you today that's familiar to you, that you recognize on the inside and say, aha, aha, that's true. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing or naught. But we speak the wisdom of God, and here it is, in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Way before the world, God already ordained this hidden wisdom for us, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's way out of reach, y'all. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But I love the next verse. It says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit. But the Spirit of God. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. In other words, God's Spirit reveals all of that junk and stuff on the inside of you and me. It tells us exactly where we are. Now, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's not going to slap the cigarette out your hand. He's not going to block you from going and buy another beer. But he will tell you how the Lord looks at some of these things. Did y'all hear me? He's a gentleman. The information is available to you. He will tell you what you need to do. But it's up to you to obey what he shows you. It's up to you. Amen. Proverbs 27:19 says, As in water, face answers the face to the heart of man to man. In other words, I can deal with you on a natural level. Man understands man. Man understands the differences in man. Romans 11:33-36 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? I'll stop there for just a moment. There was a situation here, nobody here, but folks came back and said, we lost some money, and we need to eat. I saw him coming. And I looked and I said, well, I ain't no money. And they were walking away. And I said, ha, can't trick me. As I stood out there and the Lord said, give them. That's what he said, give them. Give them. I said, hey, come back. Come back. And listen, When God tells you to give something and you say, well, Lord, this is my last $10, this is my last $20. If you give because he told you, it's not your last $10. It's not your last $20. It's the beginning of more tens and more twenties. Oh, come on now. You give what? Listen, if you give food, you get more food. Can anybody witness that? You know anything about what I'm talking about, Brother Bobby? If you give food, you get more food. And it's for you to give. You eat it, and for you to give. If you give money, you get more money. I don't know how many more $20 or tens or whatever that I've got from that point. But God has provided for me to give if I can, if I have it. And so listen, don't be afraid to obey. You're not going to starve. You're not going to die. If God says give them, that's what I heard, give them, then do it. Just be obedient. It says, who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:12, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given of God. This is why we've received the Spirit of God. So we might know the things that are freely given of God. Romans 8:16 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself, which should be himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is by faith now. I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. We've received the Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us, are freely given of God. I was in an examination the other day, and a lady, bless her heart, was so friendly doing the x-rays, and she started talking about her mama and about her church, and she ba 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 and poo-poo in the church and everything, and this one is so much better because they take so much more care of their church. And I was just listening, and they put all these good things in their church, and when she finished, I said, that's the church right there. I pointed to her. I say, that's the church right there. Not the building, but the church. Now, so God had me in that place just to tell her, wrong focus. The church is not the building. You are the church. Then I gave her a scripture to read because she was having a hard time with her place with God and her mama. And I won't tell what church or what kind of church it was, but y'all know about it. She talked about two of them. I said, read Romans 10:9-10. It tells you what the requirement is. That was that. Listen, let God use you wherever you are. Are y'all hearing me now? Don't just wait to come here and sing the wonderful songs with us as Brother Bobby leads us with his melodious voice. But while you're out there, let him use you. Listen to what's being said. And wait for any instruction that you will get to respond. If you don't get anything, then you don't respond. But you might get something. Don't be afraid to respond, even though it has nothing to do with the response that's going on. But it has all and everything to do with the response. It really does. Nicodemus said, we know you're a teacher. Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus like, what? Who said anything about born again? But that's what he needed to know. That was what was in his heart. We'll go ahead and close with 1 Corinthians 2:13. I mean, we're going to start there and finish up this chapter. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And what's happening is he's comparing spiritual things with spiritual, which is what I just said. That Greek word comparing, it means to judge of one thing in connection with another. Verse 14, but the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The word there is moriah. The word moron comes from that. They receive not the things because they are foolishness to him. They're moronic. They are silly to him. They are absurd. The things of God are absurd to the natural man. He thinks that's the silliest, the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. You believe that? Ha, ha, ha. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can this natural man know them. That means he can't perceive the things of God. He can't understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. They are understood at a whole different level. You can spiritually discern it if you belong to him, but the natural man can never discern it in his present state. Natural here is psychikos man. That is a soul man. A man that walks and lives in the area of his soul only. That is the lower nature, the bestial nature of man. It's the sensual part of man. You cannot relate the things of God to a natural man. The only thing he can hear if God opens his heart is repent. Be born again. That's the first thing. And once he hears that and he accepts the Lord, now you can talk. But other than that, everything is foolish and silly and absurd to him, and you won't get through. He won't hear you. And so God will move in that area. And by the things being spiritually discerned, that's that word again, pneumatikos. It's a spiritual thing. It's non-physical. They are divinely discerned. Going to rip me off. That was the natural man talking. Huh. Too bad. And the Lord said, give them. Okay. Once you say that, I know what to do now. See? And I obey him. And those kinds of things he will say to you, and you'll be looking right in the face of this thing and saying, I know what I'm looking at. And no way. And he'll say, oh, do this. It's not going to make sense. It don't have to. Just obey him. Walk in the area that you are called to walk in, which is in a spiritual area. God is going to give you direction. Y'all, it's time now. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Y'all been hearing the word of God for years. Y'all should be so full of faith as laying down by your feet and everywhere. You got it with you. You need to get out there and give it away. Share it. Give it to others. Be a blessing. And the last verse says, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But praise God, we have the mind of Christ. What was that? We have what? Well, y'all don't seem too convinced. We have what?
The mind of Christ.
Are you glad that you have the mind of Christ? Well, learn to think with it. Learn to think with it. Learn to live by that mind. It's different. Listen, I hope I came close to, and maybe the Lord can finish this off with you, but I hope I came close to dichotomy showing you that the area of the old man is a non-productive area. As far as God is concerned, you're not doing a work for God. You could say, well, I'm going to think good thoughts. I'm just going to not do it this way. Listen, I appreciate your good thoughts, but I need you to pray for me in the spirit. Amen. What's praying in the spirit? Well, God tells you to pray if he tells you to pray for me. This is one example I've given for years and years. If you're sitting up eating ice cream or something and my face comes in front of you, put the spoon down and pray for me. I'm probably in trouble. Amen. And I'll do the same for you. Amen. Father, we are so glad today for this opportunity to come and to share your word about the pneumatikos man that you have made us. And Lord, teach us to walk in that area more and not be afraid to step out more in this area, knowing that there are natural men who will laugh at us just like they did you with the young girl who you said was sleeping, but yet you continued on and raised her up from the dead because you knew and you discerned the true state of things. Teach us, Lord, and help us to begin to think with the mind that you've given us, and less with the natural mind, which is the fallen mind, but with our spiritual minds, which is the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.